Waiting for me to get set up here, and thank you for picking up all my stuff. If you have a Bible, turn to Jonah 4, find that little book, and if not, it's fine, you can just listen. So, Jonah 4, Scott had requested that the ministers go through the book of Jonah, and our women's group was also going through the book of Jonah. So this is going to be a bit of a wrap-up. So what we're going to be a little shorter this morning because we wanted to give time to Janelle and Austin, and we love it. Okay? So this is going to be actually in two parts. So the first part's going to be this morning, and then in 2 weeks from now, I'm on schedule for Sunday school. So I'm going to finish all the rest of the comments that I would have on the book of Jonah, Jonah 4, in 2 weeks from now. So it's kind of like to be continued, which I like when I'm on a show and they say to be continued, I'm like, no, I do not like that at all. Something about my personality needs conclusion. So, but anyway, it will be to be continued. So just quick out loud, just quick answer these things just for us to get our brains back here. Okay. Okay. Jonah was a modern day, or it was an Old Testament what? Thank you. God told him to go to. Jonah despised the Ninevites because they were and evil, wicked, correct. So Jonah didn't want to go, so he did what? Ran the other way. Opposite direction. I do not want to do this. I do not want them to hear God's word. And he ran the other way. So he got in a boat, headed the opposite direction, but God created a violent so bad that the skilled sailors feared for their lives. Skilled sailors. You ever hear the expression, smooth sailing never created a skilled sailor? I guess that works for flying too, right, Dave? Right, right. You got to learn it. So the boat crew's final decision, Jonah was the cause, and at Jonah's insistence, they threw him into the ocean, the sea. And God sent a great big fish to swallow up Jonah, and he remained in the fish's stomach for 3 days. And at the appointed time, God had the fish vomit Jonah right, at least they believe, right back where he started. So at this time, Jonah goes to Nineveh. Now he does do what God told him to do. He pronounces that in 40, he walks to the city, this evil, brutal city, and he walks through and just says, God's judgment is upon you. In 40 days, he's going to bring oppression, and you will be judged if you don't change your ways in 40 days, basically, is what he's saying. And Nineveh responded the whole way from the king to the common folk. End of story. No. What in the world is chapter 4 even there for? It could have clearly stopped at the end of chapter 3. There's a reason why Jonah 4 is there. And there are things for us to learn and be gleaned. So let's look at Jonah 4. And just for the sake of time, I'm going to read Jonah 4. Actually, I'm going to read 3, verse 10, the one verse before. When God saw their deeds, that they were that they turned from their wicked ways, then God relented concerning the calamity which he had declared he would bring upon them. And he did not do it. But it greatly displeased Jonah, and he became angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, Please, Lord, was this not what I said would happen while I was still in my own country? Therefore, in order to forestall this, I fled to Tarshish. Forestall is an interesting word there. So in other words, somehow he sort of knew he was going to have to do this anyway. For I knew that you were a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness, and one who relents concerning calamity. Therefore now, Lord God, just take my life from me, for death is better to me than life. And the Lord said, do you have a good reason to be angry? Then Jonah went out from, now at this point, this discussion's happening in the city. Now, Jonah went out from the city, and he sat east of it, And there he made a shelter for himself, and he sat under it in the shade, and he could see what was going to happen to the city. So the Lord God appointed a plant, and it grew up over Jonah and created shade over his head to deliver him from his discomfort. And the Jonah was extremely happy about the plant. But God appointed a worm. Then the next morning came, and the worm attacked the plant, and with it the plant withered. And it came about that when the sun came up, that God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on Jonah's head so that he became faint and begged with all his soul to die, saying, "Death is better to me than life." Then God said to Jonah, "Do you have a good reason to be angry about the plant now?" And he said, "I have a good reason to be angry, even to death." And then the Lord says in the last two verses here, "You had compassion on this plant, which you did not work, which you did not cause to grow. It grew up overnight and perished the next day. But should you not have compassion on Nineveh, this great city of more than 120,000 persons who do not know the difference between their right and their left hand, as well as the many animals there?" So let's quick talk about this. Nineveh was godless. It was a godless, evil, wicked city. They had no morals. They did not know God. When it says the right hand to the left hand in my version, some of the versions say good from evil, God from godless. Like they didn't know. And so they were enslaving other peoples. They were brutal. I mean, godless is godless. So no morals. Jonah somehow just knew that the city was going to respond. I don't know. He just seemed to know it. And as Jonah saw it from Jonah's point of view, they're just getting off the hook. Just like that. Okay, Lord, you're just going to forgive them. And they're off the hook like that. So we got to at least try to understand a little bit where Jonah was coming from. We are not so different from Jonah. We're really, really not in many ways. So, but today, if somebody did an unthinkable crime, okay, they can repent and God will forgive them. But there's still probably going to be consequences in the legal system. And we're all good with that because that's what we think should happen. But Jonah, again, was looking at them like, it looks like they're just off scot-free. So, again, if we're trying to come up with how could we understand this? I don't know if this is a good analogy or not, but let's just use Hitler and his, what they called Hitler's henchmen, Himmler and all the rest of them. What if a modern-day prophet would have been called to Berlin or walk across the country of Germany pronouncing God's judgment in 40 days if you don't change? Now, we kind of look at Jonah's Nineveh like, oh, yeah, well, that was... That had to have been as unpredictable as Hitler saying, oh, I was wrong. I see it now. I see God now. And repent. I mean, it's just like, I mean, if Hitler and the whole regime would have just repented, would we have been okay to have no consequences? Just forgiven, move on, it's okay? I mean, we kind of lose sight on how evil Nineveh seemed to Jonah. So in the beginning of chapter 4, Jonah says, I knew you were going to do that. I knew you were going to forgive him. That's why I went the other direction. I knew you're a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger, and abundant in mercy. And so when Nineveh begins to repent and change, Jonah just walks out and he is angry. I said in women's group he had a pity party, but really he was angry. It was way more than a pity party. He was mad. He's like, and then he goes, just let me die. And God, in his patience, says, do you have a good reason to be angry? And I could see that question making him angrier. Like little kids, you know, grazing grandkids. It's like, I am mad. Yes, I'm mad. Don't ask me why I'm angry. I am angry. So Jonah goes out, sits down, and God appoints this plant. Of course, it grows up, provides shade. The next day, it dies right away, and he's mad again because it died. And God again asked, do you have a good reason to be angry? And this time, Jonah says, yes, I do. And God responds, you had compassion on this plant. Just grew up and died, just a plant. But you have no compassion for the 120,000 people that are in Nineveh, that don't know me, that need to know me. You had no compassion at all. That's where it ends. And women's group are like, what do you mean that's where it ends? No, wait, there's more to this story. Wait, like, I don't know, I can't explain it, but there's a reason why God finished this book leaving that statement linger. Could you not have had compassion on people that are evil and lost and need to know me? You're more concerned about your own comfort than the lives of the lost people. Where's the compassion? God was completely and wholly patient with Jonah. I mean, I think it seems like God was just like almost like in a quiet, do you have a good reason to be angry? I don't know. I just picture it being a very, not yelling at him, but just like a very patient, soft question. I read in something when I was reading about Jonah, it said, Jonah, somebody else said, I think it's like saying like, Jonah, do you do well to be angry? Is this really what you want? Do you truly understand what you're saying? Can you not see the disdain in your heart for all that's twisted and wrong around you? You need to see it with my eyes. God is gracious and compassionate. And Jonah just said he wanted to die. You know, God could have said, okay, end of story. Jonah drops. You asked for it, you got it. I mean, it happened in Acts 5. I don't quite understand it, but when Sapphira and Ananias lied before the church and before God, I mean, they just dropped dead. Now, that seems like a harsh judgment to me, and I don't know why that happened just right then, but we'll let God be God. And God has chosen to be very patient here with all that was happening with Nineveh and with Jonah. So when we come back in 2 weeks from now, we're going to talk about these couple things here. Righteous awareness versus self-righteous deception. Maybe we don't want to talk about that. We need to, righteousness should be in us. There is something that should make us incensed to what is evil and against God. Good and evil. However, self-righteousness is a false security in thinking that I have one up on other people. Or at least I don't do this or I don't do that and I don't. Let me quick read Luke 18. Couple of verses here, and this is Jesus talking. And Jesus also told this parable to certain ones who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. There were two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. And the Pharisee stood and was, now this is an interesting little wording here. My Bible says, the Pharisee stood and was praying thus to himself. Now, I don't know if it means he was praying to himself or actually thinking he's praying to God, but God, I thank thee that I am not like other people, like swindlers and the unjust and adulterers and those like this tax collector over here. I fast twice a week and I pay tithes of all that I've got. But the tax collector, standing off in a distance away, was even unwilling to lift his eyes to heaven, and he was beating his chest, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And Jesus says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other who exalted himself. For those that are humbled will be exalted. We're going to be picking up on this in 2 weeks from now. Let me just say this. There are some differences between Jonah and this parable, but they're both about us not seeing our own sin before God. We are all sinners. The master servant, because both Jonah and in this parable, the master servant, I'm sorry, that was from Matthew 18. I decided to skip that. We're going to talk about Matthew 18 and the king who forgave one of his servants a debt he could never repay, and yet he could not forgive a fellow servant. And so we'll come back to that. We're going to talk about that in 2 weeks from now. So there's things to learn from Jonah. Why had he no compassion? I think some of it was justified in that they really were evil. And yet, if we have a heart for God, God loves people, loves his creation. He wants everyone to come to know him, no matter what we have done. It's the God who loves and forgives, and it's same today. He is compassionate, slow to anger, rich in mercy, thank goodness. And that is why, one of the reasons why we call ourselves New Beginnings. When we were picking out a name for a church, I remember we kicked around a bunch of different names, and I remember saying at that meeting, well, you know, if we have a sign out that says New Beginnings, it seems to me that's going to connect with anybody. Like, if you don't know God at all and life is like a mess, you're like, I could use a new beginning. And if you've been walking with the Lord, we all still fail. And every morning we want to wake up, I can use a new beginning. Today is a new beginning, Lord. And that's a blessing for us that every day can be a new beginning, no matter if you're don't know the Lord at all or have been walking with the Lord a long time, we all need a new beginning. And so in the midst of when we talk about being, got to watch, see our own self-righteousness there, I mean, Jonah wasn't seeing his own sin before a holy God. He was coming across self-righteous whether he knew it or not. We are reminded, though, that even though we are indeed dust, we're not dirt. And even though we are unworthy, we are not worthless. So in the midst of understanding that we all sin, we all fall short, that we all need a new beginning every day, we're reminded, though, that we have worth in who Jesus is. We are part of God's creation. We have worth untold. We are adopted into his family. He created us. Jesus died for us because of that type of worth and value that he gives to us. We now get to be called sons and daughters of the living God. I think Jonah needed a new beginning, and we don't know if he got it or not. Let's assume he did. Would that be feel good? We'll assume Jonah finally got his act together and like, okay, you're right. I need to care about these people. We don't know, but it's nice to feel like that came to the conclusion. Clearly God loves everyone. All right, let's pray. Lord, you used Jonah, and you were immensely patient with him. You cared about all the people that just were wicked and didn't know you, but you loved them and you drew them to yourself. And even self-righteous Jonah, you loved him and you drew him to yourself even still. Lord, help us today to care about people that just need to know you. Help us to have compassion and care. Not wish them evil or harm, but that they would come to know you. And Lord, help us to see our own faults, our own shortcomings, our own self-righteousness. Help us to see that as well. That will keep us humble and know we are all just sinners in need of a Savior. And thank you that you are that Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.